Hi there, everyone. This is Donna Fox, and you are listening to Akashic Wisdom, the internet radio show that gives you all sorts of wonderful things to think about based on the questions of the Akasha and the answers from the Akasha. Again with me tonight is my dear friend and student of the Akasha, Nikki Lucresti, and she's got some great questions that we have been putting together tonight, as well as we are on our way home from Philadelphia, and we both were attending the Lightspeed Learning. If I get my tongue out of my teeth, we'll be able to. Lightspeed Learning Workshop, which I highly recommend for those people who want to expand their consciousness and expand their way of assimilating and downloading information. It's by the time we were done with the class, we were downloading 1.5 million words a minute, and it was spectacular. So for those people who would like to know more about Lightspeed Learning with Thomas and Jane Morton, please go to lightspeed-learning.com, and you can learn all about it. There's some testimonials there, and we're actually going to be incorporating some of the information, not that we learned at the workshop, because we want you to go to the workshop and have your own experience of it, but there were some questions for the Akasha that have come from that workshop that we're going to delve into. Now, what I'd like to say about these questions is that we have discussions, and what has been great this past weekend is that Nikki and I drove to Philadelphia from Cleveland, Ohio on Friday and had a fabulous discussion in the records about different questions that were going on. And so what would happen is I'd have my records open and Nikki would ask me questions and we would take turns driving because you're not supposed to drive with your records open. So we would take turns and she would ask these questions and I would, she had her records open and I had my records open at different times and we had this wonderful discussion that we will get to at another time for you. And then on the way back home now tonight, we were also doing some discussing and about stuff in the records, and some questions have come forward, and we're going to get to those in a minute. But first of all, I would like to introduce my guest and friend and student, Nikki Lucresti.
Hi, everyone. How are you doing this evening?
Okay, and you know what we're going to do? We also want to send a great shout-out hello to all those folks who are at the Lightspeed Learning Workshop, who have tuned in, and there was about 25 people there, and we are just wanting to say so much that we're so glad to have met you and have the experience to interact with you. We want to say hello to Jane and Thomas. And the other thing we want to do is encourage you who were there at the Lightspeed Learning workshop to call your questions in, and we're also going to, and please, all of you folks who are listening, we want your questions, too. One of the reasons that I have invited Nikki on the show on a variety of different last few Sundays is because what I have learned about my work with the Akasha is that I can deliver the information through the Akasha, and the information will come forward. Please understand, I don't interpret anything. I don't tell you what I think it means. I tell you exactly what I see, hear, or sometimes feel. And what I have found is that when there is someone asking me questions, then the information comes out pure. If I'm working on my own, I work better if I'm journaling. So I ask my own personal questions, and then I write the answers down. That works well for me when it's just me and the record keepers. However, when I want to broadcast to you, it's so important that your questions stimulate that exchange. And so in working with Nikki, it was just kind of an organic outpouring that she come on the show and start asking questions. And so that's what we've been doing, and we found that it's worked extremely well. But that doesn't stop you from asking your questions. So I want you to definitely call in. Now, here's the thing. I don't have the computer. Okay. I don't have the computer in front of me. So I won't be able to take your email questions tonight, so you're going to have to be brave, and you're going to have to call in the BBS numbers. And here, let me give them to you. In the U.S., I would like you to call 877-876-7610. 5227. In Canada, you can call direct toll-free, 888-815-9756. Or if you're out of the country, our country code is 01, and you would call 01 direct to 530-876-3222. By the way, we have some folks from Bermuda at the Lightspeed Learning Workshop, and we are talking about setting up an Akashic Records tour of Bermuda, where we would actually go to that country and do some lectures on the Akashic Records, do some workshops and consultations on the Akashic Records. So because I am mentioning this, I want you, every one of you out there, to know is that we go where we're invited. So if you have a spiritual community, if you have a unity church, if you have a group of like-minded folks that you feel would benefit by having the information and the energy of the Akasha come to your group, I so encourage you to email me at info@akashicwisdom.com. That's info@akashicwisdom, akashicwisdom.com. So remember, have prayer will travel. For those people who are curious about how this all began, I encourage you to look on the BBS information where my picture is, lots of information about the Akashic Records. If you're interested in a personal consultation, please give me a call at my personal home number, which is 216-691-1233, and that's a 24-hour line. You can call me anytime, leave a message, and if I'm next to my computer, I will be happy to answer that phone. Do it all the time. So, without any further ado, we're going to get into the questions, but Nikki, I'm going to have you remind the folks where we're going to be for the rest of January and or 1st of February as far as workshops are concerned. But again, if you live in an area and you want us to show up, just give me a call or email me and we'll talk. But do put your email, your telephone number in the email when you email me. That's all I want to say. So, okay, so what's the first question tonight?
Okay, so our first question is, what can we understand about the subconscious and the conscious and subconscious mind of humans and the benefit of connecting to the subconscious mind?
Well, that's a mouthful.
Yes.
okay, so just repeat that slow again, please.
Okay. So what can we understand about the conscious and subconscious mind of humans and the benefit of connecting to the subconscious?
Okay, so, well, first of all, what's important to know from that point of view is that the subconscious mind is the free form connector of the human to the universe. You have to understand that the personality is what houses the emotions, the addictions, and the mental attitudes, etc. So the soul part of the human that can connect is, I want to make sure that you understand this. I am not saying that the soul is a subconscious mind. That's not what I'm saying. But the soul and the higher being, or your inner being and higher self, connect or are accessed in a free form through the subconscious. In other words, it's a pathway. It's a pathway. Actually, what they're showing me is like a large tunnel-like structure that moves a thought form from the conscious mind, moves into a desire or command, if you will, or a request through the subconscious, and then the subconscious moves it out into the universe. It's like a, okay, what the word is coming forth here is carrier field. It's a carrier field. And the energetic carrier field of the subconscious is what we can consciously access when we have adjusted our vibrational rate and frequency to align with our inner being. And that's when we would move into the various rates of consciousness, if you will. Does that answer your question?
Okay.
Okay. That being said?
That being said, how do we adjust the rate and frequency to align to our inner being?
Well, you know, interesting, there's a variety of different ways. First of all, there's an exercise that I'm actually writing about I have a couple of books going at this time on the Akashic Records. And so, but there is an actual exercise in one of the books that outlines how to adjust your frequency and vibration to move into, to align with your higher self and inner being, as well as the specific area you're working with. So one of the ways is again, this is coming out in my book about how to align yourself to the highest level of frequency and vibration of whatever you're working with. And it's not an involved process, it's a rather simple process, but it's what is being written. So you can do it yourself if you, for example, with a technique, a methodology. You can also work with the various frequencies of consciousness, you know, such as the alpha and the delta, the beta and all that other stuff, the different kinds. Going into alpha will absolutely help you connect with the first, this is interesting. Moving into alpha connects you with the first level of expanded consciousness that the human mind or the human being, human cosmology, the human
structure.
The human structure, yeah, can access. But alpha is what they're saying is like the tip of the iceberg, because moving into alpha from beta is like a stepping stone to an expansion of the ability to access your inner self or your higher self or your inner being. Yeah, that's very interesting. Did you get that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now what's your next question here? Remember, ladies and gentlemen, you can call in your own questions too. Let me give you those numbers again while Nikki's getting her question again. It's 877-876-5227 in the U.S., 888-815-9756, and that's Canada, and 530-876-3222. Okay, just wanted to be able to give you those numbers again. Okay, how are we doing here with your question here?
Okay, well, if we're being told that the alpha state is the tip of the iceberg in to the expansive. So what's the rest of the iceberg? How can you go even farther, deeper with the alpha state? What can we understand about that?
What can you understand about the alpha state?
To go deeper, I would like more explanation about the alpha state, if they're saying that it's the tip of the iceberg. So that, what is the rest of the iceberg?
Oh, I see.
How would we word it? It's all in asking questions of the record keeper. It's all in how you word the question to get at the answers that you are seeking.
Right. First of all, the idea of expanding your ability to move into alpha is basically what people need to know right now, because to move into theta and delta is a different type of movement, and there's a different methodology for working with that deep energy that is really not, it's not that it's not available, but it's not appropriate to discuss at this time, because it's the expansion of the alpha experience that will, on a grander level, expand the consciousness of humanity. So what's important for people to understand is the more they master moving in and out of the alpha state themselves, the more they make it possible for our collective human consciousness to become more aware. And so the discussion of how to go deeper is not appropriate until the human consciousness has mastered the alpha. That's not to say that there aren't individuals out there that are moving into the higher or deeper
We're
or wider realm.
On the whole, and for the
yes.
greatest good of all concerned.
For the greatest good of all concerned right now, it's about mastering the work with the alpha, and really getting clear about what the difference is between being in the alpha state, the beta state, etc. In fact, that's one of the things that's taught in the light speed learning, is how to go back and forth from the alpha to the beta easily, you know, and quickly. So, yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
We were still asking also about, can you give us an exercise to adjust your frequency and vibration to help you align with your higher self and your alpha state?
And, yes, but that is also, it's the same thing that what we just said, it's going to be written about in the book. So, wait a second, you want to... No, wait a second here. No, it's a relatively easy methodology. But how can you
explain the importance of connecting with your breath in reaching alpha state?
Well, yes, but that doesn't have, just as a comment,
mm-hmm.
that's a different question than the technique that's going to be written about in the
fine,
book.
Fine, that's fine.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'm asking that question.
That's
what
fine.
Can we understand about breathing and connecting with the alpha state?
Well, the breath has a lot to do with connecting to not only the alpha state, but to the actual rhythm of the universe, of the planet. The breath, when you take deep breaths, again, it's the yoga breath. It's breath of life. It's the breath that fills not just the lungs, but it goes all the way down to the diaphragm and then moves up again. It's that kind of a breath that is moving in when it's conscious. It's a conscious breathing that allows a person to move into the alpha, because eventually the breath becomes slower and deeper as a person relaxes. And so that's the alpha breath that was that's the question you're asking. It's about mm-hmm. It's called the alpha breath,
mm-hmm.
and it's really about centering oneself, moving into an alignment of a body scan. So the idea is it's really about scanning your centers and seeing where they're off and breathing them literally back into alignment. This is about, as you breathe and become aware of your whole being, you can move into understanding or feeling where there may be a block or maybe something is out of alignment. You can actually breathe into that alignment so it aligns with the universal, the universal light cord is what they're calling it, LIGHT, the universal light cord. Okay.
And I'm getting, could that not be done? So in sending any pain you're feeling in the body, not just considering it's out of alignment, but any discomfort, send it breath.
Well, that's true, because if you have pain, you actually can breathe. You can breathe into that that pain, and what happens when you breathe into that area of your body that has that pain, you actually dissipate it. Mothers know that very well from childbirth.
Right.
That it's the Lamaze technique of childbirth, of natural childbirth, of the panting. But when you do when you breathe consciously during childbirth or any type of painful situation, you actually focus that breath right there into the pains, and that oxygen, as well as other properties, actually dissipate the pain. What's so important about that, though, is when you're working with pain, it's very important to literally imagine your body as being separate. So, for example, I'm going to speak about this for a moment. What they're talking to me about right now is, and they're showing me about a time where I had surgery, or there have been times where my legs have gotten Charlie horses. You know, it's almost felt like there was an electrical storm in my legs, and the only way that I could manage that pain was literally to imagine myself, like that part being separate from me, moving up and out, and then going deep into gratefulness and gratitude for the pain, and being grateful for the pain because the pain was a actualization and a reminder of my being on planet Earth and being human. Now, I want you to just think about that. That's a concept that I know may sound really out there. But what happened was, when I was able to release my body from the responsibility of quote-unquote fixing the pain, and I moved my consciousness out of my body and moved deep into gratefulness, it not only lessened the pain, it actually made me thankful that I had that sensation that grounded me into being human. Now, I know there's a lot of you out there that are not real happy to be human, but I've got to tell you that if you're on this planet, that was your contract. And that might not make you feel good, but the reality is we're here, every single one of us, as a mirror for each other. And that pain that you may be experiencing, whether it be emotional, physical, or even spiritual, or mental, is there as a reason and purpose, and you have a responsibility for yourself and all of those within your sphere of influence, because your pain is, and the way you deal with it, is not only being observed by your inner being and higher self, but it's also being observed by those around you. Now, this is not being said to make you feel guilty. That is not what this means. What this means is that the more conscious you can become about how you're dealing with your own pain, the more conscious you can become in moving, being aware of it. This is not about denying. This is about being aware of it and moving away or up from it, if you will. Like, it's almost like divorcing the pain from your body. Those are the words that are coming. It's about lifting yourself up so that you view the pain and you go deep into the gratitude of the experience. What will happen is the pain will lessen. Now, it's interesting. There was a situation at the workshop where someone had a migraine headache, and we were working. First, Nikki worked on the person, and about an hour later, I worked on this person, and we did what we call matrix energetics work with her. And so for those people who are interested in matrix energetics, it's transformational energy work, and that you can get that information at www.matrixenergetics.com. I'm a certified practitioner in this work. In fact, the only one in Ohio, and Nikki's soon going to be the second one in Ohio. But the idea here is that this transformational energy work is literally about allowing the energy to move into or around, or actually not even being in control of what the energy does, but it's about the practitioner, if you will, moving into the matrix of the individual and just connecting the matrix with the consciousness of the energy. It's all very hard to explain. So go to their website, you'll understand it.
Well, it's maybe not so hard to explain if you understand, as you're saying, connect consciously through the breath. It's interesting. So
yeah.
You're connecting consciously to your subconscious inner knowing. So,
right.
And in the inner knowing of your higher self, you are realizing that you can step out of the situation, out of the pain, and look at it as an experience, as
right.
Something to experience and be grateful for and to be thankful for what you are learning through that pain and what others around you are also learning through that
That's
pain.
Right.
So always look at it as what am I to learn from this pain? What is it that I'm experiencing that I can learn from?
Yeah, what are the gifts of the wounding? Now, one of the things about pain is pain can, again, this is all forms of pain, mental, emotional, spiritual, physical. All. And when I say spiritual pain, I'm talking about the pain of feeling that you are not connected. That's the part of the spiritual pain. The pain of feeling that you are not connected, that somehow your prayers are not being heard, somehow your guidance isn't speaking to you, somehow you feel like you're on the outside looking in. That's when I talk about spiritual pain, or the spiritual pain of not feeling that you are even effective in your modality? I mean, those are concerns that we all have at different stages of our lives. But what the piece here is not only looking for the gift of that wounding, but understanding how that pain is serving you. Why is it here? What does it allow me to do? What does it prevent me from doing? What would my life be like if it weren't here? Am I willing to step into the greatness and the responsibility of being well, or being, or feeling well, or feeling healthy? Now, everybody said, of course I want to feel healthy. But there's a bigger question here. How would your life change if you didn't need others to help you? How would your life change if you didn't need assistance from others? What would that be like for you? Now, some people say, oh, I'd love it. I'd love to be able to be totally independent, etc. However, there is a pattern that is set when there has been pain, discomfort, or disability for a long time. And that pattern has, in many cases, created a groove. And part of that issue is that the actual healing, or the removal of that discomfort or disability, would create it would necessitate
a disconnect.
It would necessitate creating a different type of a groove, and that different groove would be one that, because it hasn't been experienced either for a while or ever, sometimes could be considered scary. And so the conscious mind says, of course I want to heal, but there's an underlying belief system within the individual that says, if I heal, I may in fact have to change in a way that I may not want to. And so that underlying belief system or doubt plays big, and then they become conflicting beliefs. And that's when a person gets stuck and is in a situation where they say, I want to heal, I'm doing everything I can to heal, I've tried everything, and nothing works for me. It's at that point, or even before, that an individual must examine their underlying belief systems of how they really feel. Now, notice the words here, ladies and gentlemen. How they really feel about a transformation or a healing. How does that feel? And when you can really get into the feeling of the bliss and the ecstatic nature and the total joy and peace of being healed, it's at that point that miraculous things have the environment for which to happen. So, you know, this has been a really rich program so far. You guys out there, I would love to have you call in. I'm just going to stop for a minute and give you those telephone numbers again. And those telephone numbers are 877-876-5227, and that's in the U.S., in Canada, it's 888-815-9756. And in directly is 530-876-3222. I want to take this opportunity to also encourage you, if you like what you hear, I want to let you know that I'm going to be personally conducting a Level 1 Akashic Records workshop in Columbus, Ohio, on the 19th and 20th of this month, of January. I'm going to be speaking at Phoenix Books in Columbus, Ohio on North High Street on the 17th from 7 till 9. There's a introductory lecture there. And the following week, I'll be in Louisville, Kentucky. There's a lecture at a private home that you can certainly RSVP to for the 24th of January. And the Level 1 Louisville, Kentucky class will be, again, at a private home on the 26th and 27th, but we have space, and you can register for that. And then in February, the first weekend in February, which would be February 2nd and 3rd, we're doing a Level 1 in Cleveland, Ohio. Okay. Nikki, what's your next question?
Oh, my goodness.
We're ready here. Oops, we have a caller. I heard that. Yay. We have a caller on the line. Is that right?
Yes, that's right.
Hi there. Who's this?
This is Bob from the Midwest.
Bob from the Midwest. Would that be Minnesota?
It sure would.
Ah, I recognize that voice. How are you doing?
I'm doing just great. How are you?
I'm good. So what's your question for tonight, Bob?
Well, I've been listening to and appreciating your program, and I had a couple of observations.
You have a couple of what? Observations, okay.
Observations, that's right. And the first one was that we were talking about this notion of moving into a oneness and being and moving into the alpha state.
Okay.
And I was recently reading a book called Living in the Heart by Dranvalo Melchizedek.
Okay.
And he has a meditation referred to as the Unity Breath Meditation, which is effectively does that. And basically, it is where we begin to align our energies with Earth Mother and Heavenly Father and ourselves. And you move into the oneness of being, and you begin to sense your oneness of being.
Are you on a landline, Bob?
I am. Am I not coming through very well?
It was breaking up, and I wasn't sure if it was you or me.
Okay.
Okay. So you said Dranvalo's got a meditation for oneness, is that right?
Yes, it's called the Unity Breath Meditation. And
okay.
It was actually taught to him by, I believe...
Say that again, because I couldn't hear you.
It's called the Unity Breath Meditation.
Unity Breath Meditation, okay.
Right. And I'd been working with that recently and experiencing that, and it was similar to a meditation that I had been doing. But you know that I'm a reconnective healer, and it seems as though, in a similar way, there's a metaphor in our practice, in our modality, which is connect the strings and connect the strands. And it's kind of this way also of getting into that alpha state and moving into that oneness and being. It's,
Well, you know, when you work with, you're a level two Akashic Records student, too.
Sure.
And, you know, when you open the records with the Akashic Records of the prayer, you're also getting into an alpha state.
That's right.
And so I'm curious, have you ever worked with your records open and done the reconnective healing?
Not consciously, no. I haven't tried that.
Okay, all right.
But
because I'm wondering if how that would work, you know? I can't hear. Yeah.
That would be very interesting, I think.
Yeah.
But the other notion that you brought up with is that recently in my own records, dealing with an issue of pain and discomfort that I was experiencing, it came up in my own records that it actually was there a thought or belief system that I had to kind of remove and kind of eliminate and to kind of move out of that. So,
What kind of belief was that again?
It was just something, it was a negative thought pattern that I had that I was holding on to. And then that was the source, or that was the discomfort in my own body.
Uh-huh.
That there must be something wrong with you or something that you need to clear.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, we were talking about that earlier. We were earlier in the car, Nikki and I were talking about going into the records and asking what our beliefs were that we were holding around a failing. Did you ever try that?
Not specifically around a failing, so to speak. I can well imagine that if you had a feeling of failing, that that's creating a negative energy and a negative thought pattern.
Well, sure, because the idea, but the idea here is people get stuck and they don't know why they're stuck. And many times, one of the reasons why a person is stuck is because of their underlying belief system that they may not even be aware of about what they're holding around failure or the fear of failure, which then cuts off the oneness.
Right, right. And the other thing that I was hearing you say that there's an underlying thought or belief that's a fear, basically, of moving into that greatness of perfect health, or basically
right.
having a level of health that you can step into your greatness. And so
exactly.
Right.
And even more so, not just greatness of health, but greatness of being,
right.
Greatness of overall being and overall magnificence. And what if you really were at peace with the reality that you are magnificent?
Right. Without ego.
Right, right. I agree with that. I agree with that overall sense as well, right.
Yeah. You know, I'm going to be coming back to Minnesota to do a level one and level two class probably next month in February. So.
Okay. Well, I know somebody that would be very interested in hooking up with you and taking that class.
Well, good. I will get in touch with you offline.
Already?
Yeah. Did we answer all your questions or hear all your comments? I think they were wonderful, Bob.
Well, I think when you started your discussion, you were talking about this notion of what the subconscious was, and I think what was coming through the records was it's this kind of the energetic carrier field.
Right.
That a thought pattern can move from the conscious into the subconscious, and it's kind of held in this energetic carrier, and then it facilitates that connection with the universe.
Right.
And it occurred to me that that kind of that mechanism is fundamental to the whole notion of manifesting and attraction.
Right, exactly. Yeah, it is. It's very fundamental to it. And if we could just visualize ourselves moving through that tunnel or that pathway with our desires as we take them to the universe, you know, it might be an interesting visualization.
Yeah, it would be.
Yeah.
And to connect to the feeling that you already have it.
Right.
To connect to the feeling and really get in the feeling of what it would be like after you had it. As if it was already present now.
Yeah, right. But you know what's interesting about what you just said is it's not just what it was. If we were talking about this earlier as well, it's about the actual how your life would change if you had it.
Very specifically, really feel it. And this is, which gets at, as we said earlier, of the underlying feelings of are you really realizing why you don't want to change?
Right, exactly.
Right, or are you ready for the change?
Right.
Right, are you ready for the healing or the transformation? Right. Right.
And I think that that notion of feeling and that notion of emotion is quite important, that you would actually experience the joy of that perfect health or experience that joy of whatever it is that you were trying to manifest.
Right.
And I think that's actually the fuel, that if intention is the engine with respect to the law of attraction, that emotion is actually the fuel of it.
Exactly, it certainly is. And if you remember, even in working with the Akasha, one of the wonderful things about working with like the modality that I have learned and teach and you've experienced is by asking the Akashic Records, show me what it would feel like if I were to. Have you experimented with that at all?
I haven't, but that's, say for example, We've often talked how the Akashic will not tell us what to do.
Right.
However, it does provide us insight in terms of potential consequences and that type of a thing. But I thought of it more of a mental, kind of a mental state or a mental question as opposed to potentially what might this feel like.
I see. When you find out what it feels like, then you have a barometer to be able to use as a way to recreate that feeling when you're working with your manifestation. So you're saying, show me what it would feel like if I were to have a new car. Show me what it would feel like if I were to have a new house. Show me what it would feel like if I were to be able to win the lottery. I know those sound like real surface questions, but the interesting thing about it is when you ask the Akasha to show you that, they'll show you in detail, if you ask, all the ramifications of what that happens, and then from that feeling, you can make your decision whether or not you really want to manifest. So they aren't telling you what to do. They're showing you the feeling so that you already, so that you have the ability to then choose that or not choose it or massage it or tweak it.
Well, it kind of brings up an interesting notion that I've heard other people talk about, that we actually choose that reality, that we've already, say, for example, won the lottery. We just claim that experience, or we just choose that. At some quantum level, we simply choose that reality, the one that I won the lottery in.
Yes, you can.
In the process of manifesting.
Right, but the reality, but there's a piece here that again, if in fact a person, you know, you can choose to win the lottery, and that's true, because from a quantum point of view, it's out there if you want it, for anybody. But the piece here, though, is that it's really about getting clear about what it would feel like on all levels of your life if you had it, and then almost working through it so that you are aligned with receiving it. Because if a person chooses that reality and is not aligned with being prosperous and abundant, then there's a block there. If they choose that reality and there's an issue around feeling uncomfortable or with a lot of money for fear people will be jealous, there's a block there. So it's really about examining how would it feel on all levels to receive $50 million from the lottery.
Yeah, when you were saying that, Donna, I had this, this image occurred to me that the feeling is actually kind of moving this thought pattern down that tunnel that you had described earlier.
Exactly.
And
that's exactly right.
And if the feeling is moving it from the conscious, and the feeling is kind of moving it kind of in a waveform through the subconscious.
That's right.
Right. If there's something in the subconscious that would want to block that, something in the subconscious potentially could alter or compromise, you know, the energy from moving through to the universe.
That's exactly right. That's why examining the feelings on all levels and then tweaking it, or at least being aware of where the blocks are. And again, if you know how to work with your own records, once you get that information, then you can kind of move out of that space into the Akasha and ask for more insight on how to clear that block. What do I need to know? What information do I need to know? Or suggested actions do I need to take in order to be able to neutralize or move through that underlying belief?
Yes, I understand what you're saying, because I've experienced that, and basically the response that I had personally from the Akashic was that there was a paradigm shift that was necessary on my part at a conscious level. I needed to initiate it at the conscious level.
Exactly. So. Exactly. Yeah. Well, I got to tell you, I'm so happy that you called in. The reason I would talk to you for the rest of the time, but in case there's somebody else out there that wants to call in, you know, but can you call in again, though, Bob? I love talking to you.
I sure would. It would be my pleasure.
Wow. You came to San Diego to do your level two, and you had that lovely lady with you, and I want to say Karen.
Cheryl.
What is it?
Cheryl.
Okay, well, I'm sorry. The color I... All right.
I'll tell her that you said hi, and I'll be chatting with you soon.
Oh, I can't wait. Thanks so much. And please, I'll get your email address out and email you the information so you can pass it on to your friends for the February class in Minnesota.
Okay, I'll do that.
All right, thanks. Okay. All right, have a good evening.
You too. Bye now.
Thanks for calling. Bye-bye. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we're almost... I've got to tell you, it's so much fun to talk to students of the Akasha, or anyone who is interested in what the Akashic Records can do for them, because that's what this program is all about. One of the things I do want to give you is the website for Akashic Record Consultants International. That is who certifies. I'm a member. I'm a founding member of this organization. I'm on the board of this organization. And what our mission, Akashic Record Consultants International, the mission is to train and certify certified consultants of the Akasha and certified teachers of the Akasha, of which I am a certified teacher. I've been working with the Akashic Records for 11 years, it's a great organization. I encourage you to go ahead up there and look and see if there's any classes in your area. If there isn't, give me a call. Again, as I said, have prayer, will travel. But we have teachers all over the country and all over the world that you can access through the Akashic Record Consultants International. That's www.arc-akashicrecords.org. So, okay, so how are we doing with questions here, Miss Nikki?
Well, I think we're almost out of time. We're getting there. So
yeah, we only have about 2 minutes left.
To summarize, though, it's what we've really been talking about here this evening is really consciously noticing the connection between the conscious and subconscious mind, learning how to work, going back and forth between how they are connected. And in getting to the subconscious mind, we not only connect better with others and ourselves, and also to the universe as a whole.
And our inner being.
Yes.
Yes, that's right. And so for those people who don't know how to open their own personal records, this is a great, you know, stepping stone for them to start working with. And for those people who desire to, they can always give us a call. And for those people who already know how to work with their records, go deeper with this information. This program is dedicated to those people who want to expand their beingness and their awareness on the planet, and to really understand how to use the Akashic Records in every area of your life, from healer to parent to business person to musician to actor to writer to waitress to scientist, and no matter what your occupation, you can use the Akashic Records to expand it. I think I've said it.
So, and to really look at every experience you're having as a chance to learn more.
Right.
Every experience is a gift, and every other person you see is a mirror of your experience to yourself, and that is a gift.
Absolutely. You know, I think one of these days we're going to do a program strictly on business. Business and the Akasha, how to create a holistic business from the Akasha. In fact, I have a teleseminar series coming up, just for your own information. I should probably tell you guys about this. Teleseminar series, I have one that is coming up on the 29th of January. It's about marketing your holistic business, and it's going to run for 6 weeks. And that will be every Tuesday night from the 29th of January for 6 weeks on that. And then on the 30th, I'm going to be offering Prosperity in the Akashic Records, and that's going to be from 7:30 to 9 on Wednesday evenings for 6 weeks. So if this is of interest to you, please give me a call, 216-691-1233. So if you're a healer or a Reiki master or whatever your holistic business is, and you want to understand how you can make it bigger and better, then this, and you do not have to have prior experience with the Akashic Records, by the way. You can, you know, this is, the information is going to come forward from the Akasha to those people who are going to be on the phone. And it's going to be a something that you can do from your bedroom with your pajamas on if you want, because it's going to be a teleseminar series. It's all going to be on the telephone, and the sessions will be recorded for future, receipt. So, yes, what time do we have here? We're almost done. We have 11:55. Well, 11:55 is pretty much the end of our show. And what I want to say to you folks is email more questions. Your questions really, really get us to the area of the records and the theme that you want to hear. So if you're curious about what the records have to say, please email me at info@akashicwisdom.com. I just want to tell you how much I appreciate your listening. So for tonight, we are going to close the records of the Akashic Wisdom Internet Radio Show on January 13th, 2008. We want to thank Bob for calling in. We want to thank Nikki for being here. And we want to thank all of you listeners for being there. And we want to thank Don for being a great producer as well. So we're going to close the records by saying I want to thank the masters, teachers, and loved ones of all those wonderful beings of light that are listening to this record, this radio show. And thank you for all those wonderful beings of light that have brought forth the information. We ask that all of those listening, may their hearts be opened, their burdens be lifted, and may you truly look into the mirror and see into the heart of the divine. And with that, we close the records by saying amen, amen, amen. The records of the Akashic Wisdom Internet Radio Show for January 13th, 2008 are closed. And with that, we say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Good night, everybody. Have a great week.
Thank you, everybody.